Jewel Road One, thank you. I mean, we should really get the situation of this world covered. I mean, really showing it in all its absurd glory. How, from this point of view, is interesting. You have this country over there. And they invented basically capitalism, and everyone should have, you know, be free to build their destiny and their fortunes and, you know, that kind of success never came from laziness. And then, I mean, we can have it about some guy. I mean, I'm typical American. I'm really good at selling things. Looking like from some old 40s movie, 50s. I can sell anything. So then you got this political guy. He says, well, maybe you can, you know, sell this political idea, or buy me, make me a president, things like that. And, oh yeah, we've got, you know, and then there's war, and then this guy turns into propaganda expert, and they learn, hey, we can use the movies too, not just leaflets and magazines. We've got radio and TV, that's the real thing. And the same thing, that, you know, I can sell anything, I can make you believe anything. I can make you hate anyone and love anyone. Yeah, you got that person there, a power figure in himself. And you got journalists and all these people who can sink you and kill you with media. So the power of that. But the thing is, it can only go that far because whatever narrative, whatever story you build there in the minds of people about who you are, how powerful and smart you are, and this and that, who's your enemy, and now you will kill him for me, and all of that storytelling that we have seen for hundreds of years in the world. It's very smart, and of course it's all backed up by weapons and money. So you got control over the minds, you got control over the bodies. You don't do as I say and I kill you. And it's as simple as that. And of course you have the democracies. And that's kind of part of it, is a smart way of packaging it. You, the people, are in charge. You vote for whom of us should be your leader. You've got two of us. Which one do you choose? And then we can show here how these Western, global northers, they're more and more and more turning into bad actors, leaders. Just like you have these funny people with the funny wigs back ruling Europe, with their funny clothes. And you can see when things start to become decadent and the rich upper class. Just lose contact with reality and drift away into the dream worlds inside the chambers of their palaces and mansions. Meanwhile, the world around there is falling apart, crime and diseases and all kinds of, the whole thing, you can see how it goes. And those men and ladies sitting in there, yes, you over there in the country on the other side of the planet should fight to the last one of you to defend freedom in the world. They all know what they're saying, but it just sounds right? And it gets so absurd. This I think we should really show the absurdism. I like absurdism. Yeah, and just bring in all these. Just the other day I saw this demonstration. What is it now? No kings. Someone just came out. It's like a color revolution in their own country. Those who invented the color revolutions. Play trumpet for no kings. And some people just walking around on the street dressed in funny, crazy clothes, playing trumpets in funny, crazy ways. And that we can show that kind of scene around there. And then we zoom out and we show it from the viewpoint of the East, from India and from China and from Russia and from these other countries, where they just scratch their heads and look at satiric one we can get inspiration from, the Fellini film, showing how it basically looked like this at the end of the Roman Empire. It wouldn't surprise me. It's the way it goes. Going down into the lower modes of nature. And yes, we had the Kurukshetra war back then, Mahabharata. And why? Because there was a kind of decadence. There were kings, rulers appearing, just a similar way
And I think the story tells us this is what humans tend to do in this age and time. It's to be expected, and this is how you deal with it. Dharma. Establishing Dharma, and that's why Krishna appears to re-establish Dharma. And now he has appeared as Chaitanya, not to kill the asuras, but to kill the demons there in the heart of each and every one of us. Because the world is so crazy, he would otherwise have to kill most of us. So yeah, and that's how Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, aging Indian sannyasi monk back in 65, 66, stepped ashore there in New York City. City of sin, above all the other cities of sin. And where did he go and start his mission? In the hippie quarters, in the Lower East Side, where the drunkards lie sleeping on the sidewalks. And in the stairway up to the little loft where he was allowed a sleeping corner, an apartment run by a drug addict. You can't be picky these days. And there's even something in my saw it myself as we started this Krishna movement here in Sweden and in the world back in the 70s. We joined and yeah, we were a bunch of crazies, but some or other we did things. Krishna gave mercy to us crazy, so we lit up. As long as we managed to be Krishna conscious somehow or other, skip the mind, just absorb our consciousness in Krishna, serving Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, talking about Krishna, thinking Krishna prasadam. Smart way of doing it, Srila Prabhupada. Now let's take that innovative Yukta Vairagya spirit and intelligence, praying for it and applying it to this time and age, which is a bit different, but also a bit the same. Let's see what's going to happen.